Good morning, church. It is a blessing and a privilege to be in service one more time. And I was glad when they said unto me, come and let us go into the house of the Lord. It's a blessing that God has allowed us to come together just one more time. And I'm praying that you are using this opportunity to gather your family together and listen to the word of God as we prepare to hear from him. So we solicit your prayers as we go forward with the preaching of the word. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 3. That is, turn to the back of your Bibles in the back of the New Testament to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 3. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation. And the Word of God reads, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests a purified gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. You love him even though you never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Final verse. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation for your souls. For a subject of this morning, the Lord will make it better. Amen. The Lord will make it better. Whatever it is, the Lord will make it better. Surely the Lord is good and he is worthy to be praised. We do thank the Lord for all that he has done. This is the Sunday after Easter, after the women who had gone to the empty tomb and declared that Jesus is risen. This is the Sunday after the encounter on the road to Emmaus, when after the men's conversation with Christ, they said in Luke chapter 24, verse number 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Isaiah even made it clear in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, when he said he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is a strange time, of course, in which we are living in, because this is the time when we need to get an understanding. King Solomon said in regard to getting an understanding in Proverbs chapter 4, knowledge is a good thing. Wisdom is a good thing. But in all of thy getting, get thee an understanding. Today, in the midst of this crisis, I am sure that there are many of us who need to get an understanding. Our lives were interrupted and disrupted just a few weeks ago. Lord have mercy, we need an understanding. Thousands of people have died from this invisible virus. We need an understanding. The country has been shut down. Tens of millions have been laid off, let go, or even furloughed. Yes, we need some sort of an understanding. Look at, even in places like Michigan, people are picketing their state government because they refuse to adhere to the social distancing ordinance. The very thing that has proven to save lives. I'm not mad at them. All I'm saying is that we just need to get us an understanding. And I know that some of you don't want to hear this and you don't like what I'm getting ready to say, but Isaiah 55 is clear. God says, my thoughts, they are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know what? Can I tell you, even in regard to our word that's coming from the Lord today, Peter says to us, if you read just a little bit more in this particular letter, chapter 5, verse number 7, he tells us, casting all of your cares upon him. Throw them on the Lord because he cares for us. The Apostle Peter this morning is our writer, and he writes to the churches of the northern region of Asia Minor. These are churches that are comprised of mixed socioeconomic and ethnic groups. These were Christians, but they were beginning to experience persecution. These individuals, as a matter of fact, verse number 6 says that they were experiencing various trials in their lives. The Christians were being persecuted for their belief system. They were being persecuted because they were deviants from the social norm. They were being persecuted for their faith in Christ Jesus. Their theological stance was dead set and against what was the majority views at the time. I would argue, as some biblical scholars have argued, that they were in somewhat of a sociologically marginalized state. They were set aside. They were all by themselves. Can't you not argue when you think about it, even yourself, and I can, that some of us are being sociologically marginalized? Look at where we are now. You now can't state your religious views if they are Christian without having some kind of secular pushback. What was once standard moral beliefs have become old and outdated. Disagreeing with the new norms of society can now get you in trouble. They can actually cause you to be ostracized and criticized. And I'm sure that in this present environment, while preachers and pastors, while the church is being turned on the inside out and more now of the culture, praise God. And those individuals in these different social media markets, they are hearing more of the word of God now than we've heard at least in a decade. We can now actually command thousands, even millions of people to hear the word of God, opening up ourselves for criticism. We're living in a crazy time because now that if you disagree with the new norms of society, people will actually say that you're on the wrong side of history. And some of us, bless our hearts, have been muted because we don't want to offend anybody. We're living in a strange time, just like they were being marginalized back then. In those days, I would argue that some have been marginalized even today. That support for marital fidelity, for example, some will tell you is out of touch with the times. When you read the word of God, how marriage between man and a woman, and they say you're out of touch with reality. No, I am not out of touch with the word of God. We're living in some strange times because if you think I'm lying, some animals, I mean even dogs, animals now have more rights than some human beings. We're living in a strange time. What's right in the sight of God is now wrong in the sight of our present culture. What was deemed as a normative behavior or belief system now is awkward in the present. I would even say, and you can hear me, that using a courteous language, that used to be the norm. Now people look at you like you lost your mind. Treating senior adults with respect, that used to be the norm of our society. But people look at you like you've lost your mind. Lending a helping hand when a helping hand is needed, that used to be normative behavior. Removing your hat when you walked inside a building. Lord, I remember when you couldn't even walk inside the school building with a hat on. That used to be normative behavior. behavior. And don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Amen. Take a good look at yourself. How much of have we allowed ourselves to be caught up in this secularized society to where now we find ourselves marginalized and criticized? Well, for the sake of argument this morning, this is what the people during the time, these individuals, these Christians in Northern Asia Minor, this is what they were enduring. And what Peter was trying to say to them was that don't worry, everything, praise God, is going to be all right. Don't worry, God will make your situation better. Amen. If we dare try to point the fingers of blame at anybody, we need to be careful. Because Isaiah 53:6 is clear that all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But I bring you good news this morning, because in Christ Jesus, praise God, we have hope. Look at our writer this morning, our author for the day. It is Simon Peter. The son of Jonah, Simon Peter, the apostle Andrew's big brother, Simon Peter, the outspoken one, the one who declared the messianic office of Jesus when Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" He's the one that said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He is the one who Jesus told to take the coins out of the mouth of the fish so that he could pay the temple tax, which was the tithe, and also take care of his taxes with Caesar. He's that man who on the day of Pentecost preached to the souls at Jerusalem, and 3,000 souls were won for the kingdom of Christ that day. Peter was the one who preached to the house of Cornelius, the centurion, until the Holy Ghost filled the whole room and all were converted, saved, and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter says that I don't know how you might feel today, but he says in verse number 3, when I think about my Lord, he says, all praise to God. Amen. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is by God's great mercy that we have been born again. And because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. Here you have Peter, Simon Peter, saying to us that if we look at our situation, y'all, I need to tell you, you've got to know that there's somebody who is worse off than we are. I received a word this week from my good friend, Pastor Patrick Moses. And Pastor Moses at the First Missionary Baptist Church here in Fort Worth, Texas, he says, pray for us because we've just lost one of our deacons to COVID-19, to the coronavirus. Amen. Listen, I know, and I'm saying this every week because I want to make sure that you really understand how blessed we really are. Listen, y'all, we've got a roof over our head. Amen. We've got food on our table. Amen. We find ourselves with clothes on our back. We need to really be careful about complaining right about now. We need to really be careful about belly aching right now. Amen. I know you might be laid off from a job. I know that you may be furloughed. Amen. I know that. But aren't you glad that we still have a God who will supply every one of our needs? Amen. So you can say like Peter, you ought to be able to say like Peter, all praise to God. Why? Because of God's abundant mercy. Have you thought about the things that God has done in your life lately? When you think about God's abundant mercy, do you know what mercy really is? Mercy is kindness that is shown to an offender. It means that I messed up and I know that I messed up, but you took care of me anyway. Amen, somebody. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Y'all, that's mercy. He knows of our secret sins. Hello, y'all, that's mercy. He saw us when we were in our sin condition and loved on us anyhow. That's mercy. He says, I praise God. I give all praise to God, who he is, the Father of our Lord Jesus the Christ. And it is by the great mercies of my God, amen, that I'm able to be all that I'm able to be all right. You know what? It's good, y'all, because when you praise God for his mercy, you're praising God for his pity. Aren't you glad that God had pity on us? We are praising God for his clemency. We are praising God for his sympathy, his compassion, and for his kindness. Every morning when I get to wake up, y'all, I ain't gonna lie to you. I've learned now at 53 years old. I've learned how to open my eyes and learn how to tell God thank you. I drop to my knees. I say my name. I thank him because I can wake up and I know my name. I know, amen, I can touch my wife and my wife is breathing. I can walk around my house and everything is all right. I've learned how to thank God for his mercy because Evans don't deserve anything. Amen. I've sinned and come short of God's glory, of God's grace, but I thank him because he loved me so much. Amen. And look at the text. The text says that I'm praising God. I'm praising God for his great mercy. And look here, because we have been born again. What do you mean born again? Because God. Amen. We've been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the grave. We've been saved because of an act that was initiated by God, all by God's self. Oh, Lord, that's all right. Amen. I couldn't pay God. Amen. I couldn't give God enough. I couldn't run around enough. I didn't have enough to give God. God gave us his everything when he gave us his son. And because he raised his son, we now have our salvation. I'm telling you, I believe in my spirit that everything is going to be all right because God is the catalyst for all things. Amen. How do you know? Well, because he said, because God raised Jesus. It was a cause, and with that cause came a salvific effect. There was a cause. Cause means to be initiated by an outward force. Well, y'all know the outward force is God. Cause means to be stimulated by mitigating circumstances. Even when I didn't have sense enough to know God, God still knew me and he saved me. Caused means to make happen as a result of something else. I dare you to go to your Bible when you get a chance and go to Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 12. Ezekiel will tell you that it was God's spirit that caused me to become a prophet. Peter will tell you in Acts chapter 2, it was God's Holy Spirit that gave me preaching power on that Pentecost day. If you look at Paul will tell you in Acts chapter 9, I was on my way to Damascus. I was going to do something else, but God's Holy Spirit arrested me on the road to Damascus and he caused me to serve him until I die. Let me tell you something. I'm all right when God orders my steps. And y'all know what? We ought to all be all right because God is the mover and the shaker. And can I help you right now? If God isn't the mover and the shaker in your life, you need to go back, check your religion, and see what you're listening to, and get in the word of God, and let God tell you, I know we've got trouble on every hand, but everything is going to be all right. Amen. If I could hear you right now, I'd want to ask you, how did you feel about God initiating the action, God's action triggering a spiritual reaction? I'd ask you, how would you feel about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 18 and 19, where he says, when you think about all that God has done, he said, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ Jesus. And God has given us this task of reconciling people unto him. What, verse number 19, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. God is the one who's been the actor in our lives. God has been the initiator and the instigator. Listen, when you think about your present predicament, you got to glorify God and say just what Peter said. All praise is to my God. Aren't you glad that he has stepped in to your life? Romans 12 and 1 ought to help everybody. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spirit. spiritual service. King James says reasonable service. Reason in the King James means spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me keep on moving. That means that no matter what mess you might find yourself in today, Romans 8 and 28 is clear that, and we know that for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, don't worry about it, because some way, somehow, it all has a way of working out together for our good. When I read this text and I hear Peter offering words of consolation and Peter working, if you would, to say to individuals, don't worry about persecution. Don't worry about where you are right now. I see him saying that we live, verse number 3, we live with great expectation and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. God has given us something that is more precious than gold, more precious than diamonds or rubies, more precious than material or materialistic things. Can't you see how what God has done is God has removed value from material things? Amen. Can you see that in our present predicament, if we were to contextualize this word, can't you see that all of that stuff that we fell in love with don't mean a thing? Amen. When can't you see every time you turn the news on and you see 600 died this day and 1,000 died, that can't you see that God gives to us something far more important than riches? Can't you see that what God gives us is great expectations? The Bible teaches us that God gives to every one of us, y'all. He gives us what is called a living hope. Living means to exist in the here and the right now. God, my stuff looks funny, but thank you for a living hope. A living hope, y'all. If you grasp on to what you hear Peter saying, that God has given to us through that living hope, a priceless inheritance. In other words, it belongs to us and can't nobody take it away. It's a right now hope. It's an existential hope. It's a contextual hope. It's a hope that is grounded. Look at what he says. It is grounded in the resurrection, in the fulfilled promise, in the fulfilled promise of our God. Amen. How dare you know what? I hear critics all the time saying, how in the world can you believe in a God that you've not ever seen? How in the world can you believe in a God who you've not ever had the opportunity to fashion with your own hands? But even if, as I read the word of God, even as I read what Peter said, Peter says you love him, verse number 8, you love him even though you have never seen him, though you do not see him right now. We trust in him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. You sure right. You're right. I rejoice because you know what? I serve a God. Now, I may not have seen him in regard to flesh and blood, but my God is a spirit, and they who worship him in spirit and in truth. What are you saying, preacher? There's something deep down on the inside that God puts on the inside of us. And you know what? I've got a religion. I know some people think I'm high strung. I know some people think I get too excited. But when I look back over my life and I think about all the things that God has done for me, I know that it wasn't man, because man will cut you up. I know that it wasn't nature, because nature will starve you to death. I know that it had to be the unexpressible, awesome hand of the Most High God. Listen, there's a song. There's a song, and I'm going to let you go in here in a minute. There's a song that was written by a man by the name of Edward Mote. Edward Mote wrote a song called The Solid Rock. He said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground, hallelujah, all other ground is sinking sand. What do you mean, preacher? That means that since I have an inheritance inheritance in God. It might get hard sometime. I might cry sometime. I may question him sometime. But I'm so glad that I've got an inheritance in God that is protected. Why does it have to be protected? Well, I tell you why it has to be protected. Because we have an adversary. And the adversary's job, he's a thief. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I heard Jesus say that I came so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Listen, somebody, everything that Satan stole, God's got a way of giving it all back to us. Satan comes, he tries to steal your joy. He tries to kill your kindness. He tries to destroy your life. But I thank God, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. God is just keeping us. Every time you wake up in the morning, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, because you're keeping me. Every time you go from room to room and your children are all right, you ought to say, God is keeping me. When you pick up the phone and you call your loved ones, tell them, don't complain, because God, he's keeping me. When I get to verse number 9, he says that if I can keep on trusting him, if I can keep on leaning and depending on him, he says that we will have the salvation of our souls. That means that the devil, you can touch my house. Satan, you can touch my car. Satan, you might mess with my clothes. But I thank God that I've got something deep down on the inside that churns up in me. I can hear my great-grandmother saying, everything is going to be all right. I can hear my grandfather say, everything is going to be all right. Look at the person in your house. Why don't you just wipe your weeping eyes? Tell them that weeping may endure for a night, but oh joy, it comes in the morning. I'm going to take my seat, but I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm so glad that I know who controls tomorrow. I'm so glad I know who holds my hand. Why don't you hear me say, it was Jesus who died on an old rugged cross. It was Jesus. They hung him high and stretched him wide. He did die. But I tell you, thank God, because early Sunday morning, hey, he got up with all power. Got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. So listen, stop your complaining. Amen. Stop your belly aching. God's still good. God is still God. And everything that you try, everything that you complain about, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I heard Job say, that's all right. Blessed be the name of the Lord.